Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 15th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Just glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief to set the stage for tonight's discussion. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education, practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the expanded version of these principles of belief at our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome all those joining us live tonight. Good to have you at our new time of 9 p.m. Eastern. As well as those listening to the archives, we appreciate you being here as well. Tonight, the topic for discussion is how the love of potential can help or hinder. It's an interesting concept, and Dr. Hunter is going to start us off with that.
Well, this is a conversation I have with people quite a bit, to be honest. First of all, let me preface by saying my view is that spirit, our spiritual energy, our spirit is the potential that we come to this body with. So whatever it is that we can, you know, rise to, and all that we can become lives in our spirit, and then we manifest that. And I think that's where hope comes from. So where, you know, it's no matter what, you're always kind of hopeful for something or having faith in something, even when things are really bleak. And I know it's not always the case, but you know, you have hope. Well, hope is that spiritual potential in all of us to create more, create better. And, you know, things will get better around the corner. Let's see, and that our curiosity is there also. So potential in that regard is extraordinary. I think that's what makes human beings extraordinary. Of course, all life force is extraordinary that way. The flip side of potential is not looking at what's actual. So we can, and I think we're going to address a few different, you know, ways that this kind of manifests in our lives, from relationships, the workplace, life in general, even how we want to change ourselves. So let's talk about first the most obvious one, that you're in a relationship and it's not going so good, but you're in love with the potential of it. Somebody has shown the inclination of kindness. Well, you're in love with that. And so that potential of the relationship starts to overshadow what's actual. So when we try to start deciphering what's actual, boy, the potential is maybe 5%. And the 95% of the actual, this isn't looking so good. So that's what I spend a lot of time with talking with people about in relationships, that you know, we love the idea of something. Well, that's the potential of it. We're in love with our dream. That's our potential. We're in love with that one bit of kindness in someone. They have potential. And the thing is that again, isn't looking at what the facts are. And I think as human beings, we're here to manifest, create and manifest. We learn about what's here to know what we can grow. But to see the actual of it and make decisions based on actual, and not to assume that because you are a growing individual, always willing to look at yourself, doesn't mean that somebody else feels the same way. So if you have any input here, Dr. Kelly, absolutely.
Yeah. I just wanted to, this is an excellent point. I want to reiterate that this has come up extensively in my work with alcoholic or addictive relationships in the past 20 years, that so many folks, and I'm talking about the non-alcoholics or the non-addicts who are in this addictive or alcoholic relationship, they are so in love with the dream or who they want the other person to be rather than who this person is, that keeps them stuck in a toxic relationship. And we have to come face to face with who they are, not who we want them to be, because addictions, especially alcoholism, changes the person. It changes them into somebody that we can no longer recognize after time. And so if you happen to find yourself in this kind of a situation, a toxic relationship, where you know they have it in them and you're holding out all hope that they'll change, you need to come to reality. You need to have a reality check, as they say, because you're in love with who you want them to be. You're in love with the dream, or you're in love with their potential, while basically ignoring the reality. And unfortunately, they won't change as a rule. They can, but if you spend your life waiting for them to change, it's going to be a long, lonely time.
Well, the line that I often hear is, we could have such a good life if only ...
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's the thing. Well, you know what? I absolutely believe that. I have no doubt in my mind that if, you know, people could have a good life if blah, blah, blah. The thing is, here's the other thing that happens. You meet somebody and you feel really spiritually connected. Maybe it's a past life memory flash. Maybe it's, I don't know. It's whatever you feel like your kindred spirits. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to manifest in the human experience the same way the spiritual potential is there. So again, it's looking at, are you in love with the potential of it, not looking at the actual, which is usually the case, and how much of the actual are you looking at? The other question I usually pose in couples work is, but usually I see the individual first. I say, well, did you tell him how you feel? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. So I say, well, then you're making decisions, and he's making decisions on half the information. See, this is where we have to look at the actual, that we participate in that by withholding really important information. But we don't want to lose, right? We don't want the loss. Very often what happens in the love of potential comes competition. Is I want to win. I want to be right. I want to win. I know I can fix him. I know I could do this. So we start and we end up playing little games with ourselves. So that's why I'd like to talk about one's own potential and how we very often live in the mediocrity of ourselves because we're living in a potential idea, not actually living the actual. I know I'm saying that a lot right now, but
that reminds me.
Go ahead.
Real quick. That reminds me of our topic last week about getting out of your own way. You know,
exactly.
Success.
Yeah. Well, it's true. A really good discussion last week about that. So even if you have a goal set for yourself, and I don't care if it's anything from weight loss or, you know, looking after a health issue that you've had or, you know, challenging yourself to change behavior in relationships, it's what is my actual, like, I believe I am this way, but what am I demonstrating actually? because they're very often two different things. We feel one thing, we think another, and we do something else entirely. So it's to get more consistent with that, and it requires complete ownership. You know, complete ownership of yourself and who you are and what you're demonstrating and saying, you know what, this isn't congruent. I'm not being honest with myself. I'm just living in a potential of myself, but I'm confused. And now I'm disjointed. So once we start to put that back together, my feelings, my thoughts, and my actions start to become more consistent, then you'll start to see you're living more of your own potential. If, 'cause now you're demonstrating it as a whole unit, if you will. Anything, Michael, anything come to mind now or Dr. Kelly before I move on to the next element that I want to address?
Well, I think you've been explaining it beautifully, and I would just reiterate that especially when it comes to, you know, professional relationships and things, it can be easy to be, you know, deluded by the potential of what it could be, and...
My next topic.
Ah, yes. And, yeah, absolutely. I'll let you continue then.
Well, this is where we find in a competitive society, and that's what we are. We're kind of raised to be competitive. And as long as you get a good job and you get this, you get that, and so on. In a competitive society, we're prey to others' potential and their needs. But also where we fall prey to our own desire in the world. So this becomes a really external experience. So you go get a really good job. The boss says, well, you know, we think you have potential. We're going to start you out at this wage, and in 3 months we're going to reassess it. And, you know, you're going to get through the first kind of test, if you will. Oh, well, you know, I can prove myself and lots of potential here. Everything's potential. Of course, 3 months comes. You may or may not have a discussion because usually, again, being prey to potential and the use of the word, people that 3 months goes into 6 months. And you might want to try to address it, but the boss says, oh, we got to watch our budget and we're going to look at this, you know, on your 1 year mark. And that 1 year mark doesn't come. Next thing you know, you're burdened with extra work, extra responsibilities that didn't come with your job description because you have shown so much potential. And you see, so it's now become, it's no longer a win-win. So again, falling prey to the emotion, I call this emotional blackmail of potential. Also, people get a job thinking, well, if I can get this, I can go here, and I can see the potential of this job. And they amazingly tolerate a lot of dysfunction, hoping that they can excel and advance in a position to get more little things behind their name and so on. So it becomes, in the name of potential, we're kind of blackmailing each other. And not having honest discussions, truthful discussions of what's demonstrated, like actual demonstration. Instead, everybody has, and I mean everybody, I'm not using that loosely, everybody then gets a subjective view of what has been demonstrated, and it becomes almost the discontent. And if there is no meeting of the minds, well, they had so much potential. Well, what it was is the potential to serve. And this is the really tricky thing that we see more often in the outside world that reinforces to feed us to buy into not living up to other people's idea of potential. And we are always disappointed, not just in other people, but in ourselves, because we are subjective to our own end. And we're all guilty to some degree of that, all of us. So it's, again, to see how the outside world reinforces in so many ways, potential is no longer spiritual. It becomes emotional. And then that whole translation gets muddied. Dr. Kelly, anything you want to inject here?
No, I think you're covering the points very nicely. And I think it's something that we all need to consider in our life. Are we living in a situation where we're banking too much on the potential of a certain thing and in essence doing ourselves a disservice? And if so, we need to rethink that scenario.
Well, I think it's even when we, let's say a business down the street, your corner grocery store, you know, suddenly went broke. Well, they had so much potential, but nobody actually shopped there, you know. And we tend to run this scenario around in our minds in so many different ways rather than looking at evidence. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be hopeful. Absolutely not. I think we all ought to live to the best of our potential. However, if we don't know what we're working with, then we don't know what to shift, change, grow, and keep watering your garden, if you will, to work toward a realistic potential. So it's bottom line, I think, often is one's communication with yourself and then communication with others and, you know, being as honest as possible. So whether it's in relationships, whether it's you in your relationship with yourself or in the workplace or even with friends, family, we tend to tolerate a lot of things. Here's the other thing I would like to bring up. It's not to have 10 different rules for 10 different people in your life. This is another way that potential and actual get really, I mean, it gets so dysfunctional. If you have one set of, let's say, a philosophy for life, and we're going to change some of these as we grow, and not to be too crazy about it, but we have a set of values, ethics, and integrity. We have these, you know, rules for our life. But what happens is very often, I see this all the time, I've done it myself in the past, is that we have a different set of rules for old Uncle Joe who's drunk every, you know, Christmas. We have a different set of rules for, you know, this friend because, oh, you know, we've known each other a long time and they have such potential, you know. But here, there's a thing that people change. And we have to look at our boundaries in order for us to evolve individually as well as collectively. So I would only suggest that you do a little inventory with yourself and be honest. And once you look at the actual, then you can know better what to change that you can grasp in your hand and be sensible about working toward the potential of yourself and what you want to have in your life. I know that we often have to deal with a lot of things we don't like to move forward. That's a given. That's always going to happen. But to deal with that as it actually is not the way we want it to be because it's a preferred view. Because then we get into cognitive dissonance. And, of course, as we know at IMHS, that is secondary gains from denial. Mm-hmm. And then we start making ourselves dysfunctional. Our thinking starts getting warped again. And as long as you're really honest. That's the thing. It's about being honest. And if you're honest to say, I'm going to put up with this because there is something in it for me, and you keep your end goal in sight, kudos to you. Mm-hmm. But don't get suckered into the, you know, it's like becoming minimized and living in your mediocrity.
Yep. So. Excellent. Well put. All right. So we're going to shift gears. And we're
going
to go to our inner oracle card deck. So all if right. You would like a card pulled from our inner oracle cards, please put your name in the chat room and we'll do that. Our inner oracle cards are simply a deck of 54 cards that have nuggets of wisdom that are basically discussed in full length in our curriculum in our schools at IMHS and TFU.
It's really interesting. Fran popped up in the chat to say she pulled a card for the room tonight, and it's number 5, Law of Control. Now, that really fits in here, Fran.
Yeah.
I like that. So I'm going to read this. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you can't change or control others, but you have a positive impact or influence. Control only what you're entitled to control. And don't give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. You know, that's really another addendum to what we were talking about, if I can say this, that when we only see the potential, for example, in a relationship, and we're not looking at what's actual, we have taken away the right of that individual's free will. We have decided that we know better, that we're smarter, that we have the right to control them.
Excellent.
And that's something else that, you know, I want to win, and law of control. And again, looking at what actual is allowing somebody else the freedom to be who they are, whether, you know, it breaks our heart. We're disappointed. You know, we feel hurt by that. But best to live in the actual, in the truth of something, than forever live in the untruth of it. And it does really hinge on the law of control.
Yep, very true.
So right, who do we have next? Maybe, Michael, you'd like to draw a card for Fran.
I am always happy to draw a card for Fran. And tonight I have pulled number 6, Boundaries.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Mm-hmm. Apropos.
Very. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Yes, indeed, who does own you? You know, I'm not just talking to you, friend, but that is about owning the self. And if we start to, again, get carried away with things, I'm going to tie this right back to potential again versus the actual. And looking at the actual, who owns me?
You know. Good.
Dr. Edward is next. I have. Edward, I got number 19 for you. Invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth. But the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that's right for you. So that's just a little reminder. When you feel a little bit lost in the outside world, just go right back deep in yourself, because there's the right answer for you. All right. Wendy is next. Michael?
I think Dr. Darlene.
Oh, I'm sorry. Darlene?
No worries. Well, I have pulled, excuse me, for Dr. Darlene, number 31, Sacred Obligations.
Good.
A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Yeah, that hits home, doesn't it?
And that's,
it
really that's does. Also about living within your potential, you know, or not.
Yeah.
Not living, not shorting yourself.
Well, and the thing I love about that card is especially where it says that any higher being would render these things for the greatest good of all concerned, that, you know, you can apply this to any theological God concept or, you know, really any person. It is universal.
It is.
Agreed. Wendy, I have for you number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. See, I love the actualization word. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. There we go.
Good. What was that face card? The face
7, self-mastery.
Self-mastery, good. I was reading the chat. Dr. Darlene lost her dog yesterday, and our condolences, heartfelt condolences go out to you.
Tough day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Shirley is next, Michael.
And Dr. Shirley, I pulled number 30, greatness to deliver. You're usually not sequential like that. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Good one. I love that message.
Mm-hmm.
I have for Sherry, if I have the order right here, Sherry is next.
You do.
I have number 15, belief system, knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. And if I can just expand on that again, sometimes a belief system is an unconscious behavior because we've taken it on as a belief system. It can be very subtle. It doesn't have to be, you know, big, like, oh, one day I believe in this religion and I changed my mind. Sometimes it can be a very subtle one, even about how we view ourselves.
Yep, very good. All right, I think that was our last card. So,
wow,
we
went fast.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of interesting things this evening about potential and how it can help and how it can hinder. And we talked about the cards that we pulled. So, hopefully, there was something in tonight's program that got you thinking, that, you know, maybe help you evolve a little bit and continue to not only enjoy life, but deliver greatness to the world as well as you go. So we appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight, those joining us live, those listening to the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael as well. And until next week, folks, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.